Dear Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel that is our rallying cry. It is the banner around which we unite. And Father, we are so thankful for you being the Lord of the harvest and answering the call that we have prayed that you would call forth laborers into the harvest. And so, Father, we just pray that your blessing would be upon Andrews, that you would just strengthen him in this hour, that you would use him in our lives, communicating your truth. I pray that the impact of his own story, his testimony, would impact every heart here. And Father, may we dedicate ourselves to this mission, and Lord, may we learn much as we contemplate all the various avenues in which is necessary so that the gospel may go forth. And so we pray for your blessing in this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you this morning. My name is Anders Swanson, and I grew up in an average-sized family of 9 kids in northern Iowa. And I'm the third in line right after Glenn. And I grew up going to church, and when I was 6 years old, God began working my heart and convicting me of my need for salvation. And for various reasons, I'm not totally sure of why, but I kept putting the decision off. During this time, when God was working my heart, my pastor at the time, he would end many of his morning messages with the scripture passage from Corinthians where he says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And whenever my pastor would quote that verse, it always worked in my heart saying, "Oh, I need to get saved today." But I'd say, "No, I'll do that tomorrow." Well, a couple of months went by. I was 7 years old now. And I was at home, and God just suddenly struck me with the thought, "Well, what if you were to die today?" And I realized I can't keep putting this decision off because I don't know when I'm going to die. So right there, I got down on my knees and asked you to save me. And just the joy and relief of knowing that my sins were forgiven as on my way to heaven was just amazing. And about this same time period, I was kind of thinking about what I'd do with my life. Both my grandparents were carpenters, so I was really interested in carpentry. I grew up in a farming community, so I like to be a farmer. I enjoy that kind of stuff. But my dad was also a deacon in our church. And so oftentimes the missionary that we would have through would be at our house for the Sunday afternoon meal. And so I got to know, get to visit with different missionaries that way, as well as reading many missionary biographies that we had in our home. And so I was also interested in missions. So I had these kind of three ideas of what I'd do with my life, but I really didn't know what I would end up actually doing. And when I was in 10th grade, I was reading a missionary biography entitled God Planted 5 Seeds. It was about a group of missionaries. I think there's about 7 different men in the team, and some of them had wives, and they went down to Bolivia where they were seeking to reach an unreached tribe way out in the jungle. And so they were hacking the trail out there. And while I was reading this biography, God asked me, "Will you be willing to be a missionary?" Well, within the story, 5 of these men made contact and they were killed. But there's a couple of other men, and a couple of their wives were able to make contact afterwards and were able to lead some of these people to Christ. And so when God called me to missions, this is what he was calling me to do in my mind. And so I hesitated. It's like, I don't know if I want to risk my life sharing the gospel in some back jungle somewhere. And while I was contemplating this, there's a song playing in the background, and these words stuck out to me and said, "Someone must go, Lord, is it I?" And it just kind of stopped me brought me back to Isaiah, where God is saying, "Who will go for us and whom shall I send?" And Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." And so I just said, "All right, Lord, I'll go." And so still didn't know exactly where I was going to go. And it's been a long process of first taking the first step of faith and going to school at Baptist College of Ministry. And then throughout my course in school, and then seminary, and different internships I took, God just took me step by step and leading me in the direction of Bible translation. So I'll play my video here, so that way I don't cover too many things twice, and then I'll I'll share a little more about the burden of what God's called me to do, and then take some questions as well.
My name is Anders Swanson, and God has called me to the Mahdi people in Uganda. Uganda is situated by Lake Victoria in East Central Africa. It covers an area of 93,065 square miles and is about the same size as the state of Oregon. The topography of Uganda ranges from the snow-capped Rwenzori Mountains in the west, jungles in the central and southern parts, and arid savannas in the north. Uganda is home to just over 47 million people. Kampala, the capital city, is the residence of more than 1.5 million people. English and Swahili are the national languages of Uganda. This makes communication easier for a visitor. However, another 41 tribal languages are also spoken throughout the country. Children grow up speaking their tribal language and learn English in school as a secondary language. Most of the people living in Uganda make their living from agriculture, and the average person earns about $13 a day. Many tourists go to Uganda to visit the 10 game preserves, where they see the iconic African wildlife. As a 10th grader, I surrendered to God's call to be a missionary. Throughout my college and seminary years, God burdened me specifically for the need of Bible translation and church planting. In the summer of 2019, I had the privilege of interning for 4 weeks in Adjumani, Uganda, with 3 Mahdi pastors translating the Greek New Testament into the Mahdi language. I preached in 3 churches, checked back translations, answered questions the men had regarding the Greek text, and had the privilege of seeing 2 people trust Christ during this trip. I noticed that although many of the Mahdi people spoke English, the church services were conducted in Mahdi. This caused some difficulties in preaching because the pastor would have to translate the passage of scripture into Mahdi while he preached. Many of the Mahdi are also not fluent enough in English to use the English translation. In April of 2021, Ken Fielder, the director of Worldview Ministries, asked me to return to Uganda and teach Greek for a new translation project beginning in Kasese. He also asked me to consider joining Worldview Ministries and working with the Mahdi full-time to see the Mahdi translation to the completion of both the New and Old Testaments. I made 2 trips to Uganda that year, teaching Greek to 4 Lukonzo speakers in Kasese with the help of Matthew Patnod. Toward the end of my second trip, I was able to return to Adjumani and help once again with the Mahdi project. 3 more pastors were added to this translation team, and I had the privilege of being a part of a pastors' conference in Adjumani. I joined Worldview Ministries in June of 2021, and in October, I was appointed as a missionary by Baptist World Mission. Christ has commissioned every believer to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. My burden is to see local churches planted and the Bible translated into the local languages so that those believers can be equipped to fulfill Christ's commission. There are still 5,000 languages in our world today which do not yet have the complete Bible translated into its language. Millions of souls still remain lost in darkness without Christ. As I return to Uganda, I will be locating in the town of Adjumani in the northwest part of Uganda, and I will need to get a work permit so that I can remain in the country. I will be working alongside 5 national pastors in translating the Bible into the Mahdi language. This will involve teaching Hebrew and Greek, teaching translation philosophy, checking back translations, and helping answer other translation questions that arise. I will also be partnering with them as they continue to plant churches in the Mahdi villages, evangelize the lost, and disciple believers. God is working in the hearts and lives of the Mahdi people. People are trusting Christ for salvation on a regular basis, and churches are being planted. Some have tried to separate Bible translation from church planting. However, I believe that both Bible translation and church planting must be done together to fulfill the Great Commission. God has created language and has chosen to communicate His will by that means. God's desire is for each person to have access to God's inspired word in their own language. Please pray for me and the Mahdi team as we seek to translate the scriptures into the Mahdi language. Please also pray that God would raise up laborers for the 26 other languages in Uganda, as well as the hundreds of other languages around the world which still do not have the Bible.
There's about roughly 7,400 languages in our world today, including deaf languages, and roughly half those languages have no portion of scripture whatsoever translated into their language. And I think there's roughly 717 languages that have the complete Bible, and the rest of those only have portions of either just the New Testament or just portions translated into their language. So there's a huge need throughout our world for the Bible to be translated into these different languages. And many of the 3,700 languages that remain to be translated require the language to actually be put down in written form in order to be translated into the language, because they don't even have a written form yet for that. So as you saw in the video, I was able to internship. My seminary internship was with the Mahdi team, and I was working with three national pastors who were doing the translation. That team originally had five, and then as of a couple years ago, it had dropped down to just two men who were doing the translation. And so in September of 2021, we added three new translators to that team, so they're back up to five translators, and I've seen increase in their productivity since then. And I'm doing how the translation works is we'll come in and teach the nationals Greek and Hebrew, as well as teach them translation philosophy. And then from that point, they'll begin translating from the Greek into their own language, directly from Greek into their own language, using Bible software and other helps. And then, so one man will do a translation. He'll do an interlinear between Greek and his language. And then from there, he'll smooth it out into his language, what would be the correct way to say it in his language. And then from there, he'll pass that on to the next translator, who will then check everything that he's done. If he doesn't agree with the way he translated it, then he'll put his own translation underneath. And then that'll go to a third translator who will repeat the process. And then once they get a chapter or a book done, then they'll go through as a group, checking each verse. And they'll come to a group conclusion on exactly how they should translate this verse. And so then that will go into paragraph forms. And then once they got a paragraph done, they'll back translate that paragraph into English, at which point they'll send it to me, and I will check the English back translation from their language again and compare it to the Greek. And so then I will look at the Greek and see if they miss something, if they've got to translate something, if they translate something incorrectly. I can't get a complete picture because it's in English and not in Mahdi, but there's many things that I will pick up on and be able to catch problems in the translation that I've been able to catch. And then I'll make notes of that, and then I'll return that to them along with their translations. That way they can see that, and they'll go through all my notes and they'll say, oh yeah, we did forget something there. Or they'll say, no, that's just something that was missed and that's missed between the back translation from Mahdi and English. It's not a problem. So from there, it will also then go to the native speaker check, where they'll take a copy of a book or a chapter. They'll take it out to the village where they will read it to people who cannot read, or they'll give it to people who can read of various levels of education, and just see if they understand it, if it makes sense, if it's correct in their language, and they'll give feedback on the translation. And then the translators will take that feedback and determine whether it's valid or not, whether they need to keep with the translation as it is because that's the best way to say it. Even though it's maybe not the proper way to say it in their language, it's necessary for the translation to keep it that way. And then there's several other checks that'll go along the way before the final printing. But one of those checks will be where key doctrinal passages will be carefully back translated. And then we'll send those to Trinitarian Bible societies who will then carefully check those key doctrinal passages to make sure that there's no issues there before the final printing is done. Currently, the Mahdi team, they're about halfway through the translation of the New Testament. We've completed the translation of Mark, John, James, Acts, Luke, the Epistles of John. I think there might be one other one that they've also, those are books that I've also completed the back translation check of. I just completed checking Luke in December. And currently I'm working on checking the back translation for Philippians. And then they also have Colossians, Timothy, Thessalonians, Titus, Philemon, all ready for me to check as well. So I have my work cut out for me. And then they're currently working on translating Corinthians, Ephesians, and Galatians. So with the translation, we'll usually begin with some of the easier books, and then we'll work our way into the more difficult theological books of Paul, and as well as Peter and Hebrews. And then we'll finish up with Matthew and Revelation, which are a couple of the easier books to translate. So that way at the end, you kind of have, it kind of speeds up and it's an encouraging way to finish the translation. So once the New Testament's done, then we'll transition into the Old Testament. I'll teach them Hebrew, which I still need to take another year of Hebrew or two. So that way I'm competent and able to teach it. And then we'll begin translating the Old Testament as well. So is there any questions that anybody has regarding what we're doing? Yes. Yeah, I think the average time per testament is 6 to 12 years. There's various aspects, variables in there, such as how many translators you have, how consistently they're working on it, as well as many different things play into that. This translation, the Mahdi translation, was started in 2016. So they've been going for about going on seven years now. With the decrease in the number of translators, that really slowed us down. But now with the new translators added to the team, we're hoping to have the New Testament completed by the end of 2024 and have the dedication service for that. Yes? Yeah, so the purpose of me joining the team is to actually be there on site working with the team. The missionary who started the translation, he and his family had to come back for health reasons, and so he's pastoring in southern Iowa currently. But he's still going to be the administrator of the project and overseeing it, but I'll be kind of on site helping them out. So I will definitely want to learn Mahdi to some extent, but I'm not going to necessarily become fluent in it. Because I'll be located with this team for about maybe 6 to 9 years, depending on how things go with the translation work, and then I'll be moving on to another project. So I'll definitely have some time there to learn it, and it'll definitely assist me in checking the back translations and really helping them with the translation if I do learn Mahdi to some extent. Okay. Yeah, so each team, so Worldview has about 9 different translation projects that they have currently going on, and how each team is done is a little bit different. With the government policies in Uganda, they have to be paid a wage, so they're getting paid for it just because of the government regulations there. So yes, they are full-time, and I think it's an average of 6 to 8 hours a day that they work, 5 days a week. So they're really focusing on it full time, which having that little bit of additional income is helpful because most of the Ugandans, they live hand to mouth. So what they do that day is what's going to feed them for that day. And so most of them have farms, and having this little bit of extra income helps them not have to focus on planting their crops, taking care of their farms, and be able to focus on doing the translation. Which in my video, I said that the average income was $13 a day. That's the average if you compare the highest to the lowest. But I saw a study was done from a stat was stated from a Ugandan newspaper, which over 50%, around 50% make less than or around $2 a day of the. So it's pretty pretty low income status there. Yes. Yes, English and Swahili. Yeah. Yeah, I think Swahili, I'm not sure if Swahili remains completely the same country to country, but yeah, there is a Swahili translation. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the Mahdi translation is completely new. There's the Lubara language, which is right next to the Mahdi tribe. And I'm not sure if there's some similarities between them, if they're able to use that to some extent, but they weren't necessarily able to understand, or some of the meanings of the words were completely different. And so they weren't able to use that translation. I have to talk to Sam Moss to catch up on that, but I'm pretty sure this is a completely new translation. And then there's 26 other languages within the country that don't have any translation whatsoever. Which the translation I helped start in the Lukonzo language, there was another translation in their language, but it was for the Lukonzo speakers on the Democratic Republic of Congo side of the border. So they weren't actually in Uganda. And so the language on that side of the border was a little bit different from the Ugandan side. And so the example the missionary told me was the word for sin in the DRC meant sin, but in Ugandan, for the Lukonzo in Ugandan, it just meant something bad. So even a hailstorm can be bad, but it's not sin. And so there's certain things like that that really make it difficult to use the same translation, even though it's the same language group. Thank you, Sahan. Yeah, so when they finished the Book of Mark, they got that printed off and distributed. Just recently, they turned in the questions and the back translations to send to the Trinitarian Bible Societies for the books of John and Romans. And so once those checks are completed and finalized, then they're going to print those off. And these initial printings are just a trial run, so there might be some changes that will be done before the final printing. But those will be the only three books that will be printed off before the complete New Testament is printed. So it helps kind of distribute some of the work that's been translated to get the churches and believers familiar with it, as well as to allow them to give further feedback to the translators as far as, does it make sense? Is there something that they recommend they change? Yes. Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure how long that language has been in written form. I'm pretty sure that they teach it to some extent in schools. Within Uganda, everybody grows up speaking their native language, and then they learn English in school as a second language. And so I'm thinking that Ugandan must be taught, or not Ugandan, but Mahdi, or the local language, is taught in whatever school that they're at, as along with English. Or at least being able to read their own language. Yes. Yeah, so while I was in school, I really got a burden for church planting, and really church multiplication, because this is what God wants us to do, and it's really the key to seeing the gospel spread throughout the world is through the local individual, local church. And one thing that God began showing me is that I was wondering, why are we sending missionaries constantly to these same areas and these missionaries come off the field and we're still sending missionaries there. Why is this? And I got to looking at it, I was like, well, they don't have the Bible in their own language. And so if these people, they don't have the Bible in their own language, well, it's a kind of a foreign language, and God isn't necessarily speaking directly to them. And so it's not made, for some it's personal, but not everybody, it doesn't become personal for everyone. And so when God speaks in your language, if you can read God's word in your own language, it's like God speaking directly to you. It becomes more personal. And so God kind of used that to direct me in the towards Bible translation, because the church needs the Bible to be able to be strong, to be indigenous, to be self-propagating. You need God's word to be able to read it for yourself in your language, so that way you can obey God for yourself and not just hear the pastor preach on it on Sunday and then not be able to read it for yourself. And I was even looking back at history a little bit, you go back and for our English translation, John Wycliffe in 1384, he translated into the English, at least a portion of the Bible into English. And then moving into the 1500s, William Tyndale did extreme amount of work in translation, which I think 85 to 90% of our current King James Version actually comes from Tyndale's work. It was based on it. And you see Tyndale doing that translation. He's wanting to get the Bible so that way even the plowboy can read it. And then that's complete. Then it's authorized by King James in 1611. And then right around the same time period, now individual believers have God's word. And now you have William Carey. And you have all these other, the huge missionary movement that we have going on today started with God's word being translated into the English language. And as well as you have Luther translating into German and all these other translations. As translations, even as you look at missions in general, the progress in missions is directly correlated with Bible translation. There's a quote that I read where Cameron Townsend was in South America or Central America trying to sell Spanish Bibles, and he's among the Catskill people there, and he's trying to sell this Bible to an Indian, and this old Indian, he says, "When will God speak my language?" And that's so true. It's so key to have God speaking our language. And the beauty of language is that we can translate the Bible, God's word, into each and every language. God does know your language and can speak it. Yes. Yeah, so you had Idi Amin back in the 70s or whatever it was. And then I think there was heard of some conflict back in the 90s, but the past couple decades have been much more calm and quiet. I'm not actually familiar with the Muslim extremists where they're at. So I think, at least in the areas I've been, it's been fairly calm. I'll be up near South Sudan, so there's a lot of South Sudan refugees up in that area. And which I've looked at a couple different maps from the from the United States perspective, along the borders of Uganda are considered dangerous areas to be at, but you have crime and everything that goes on, people like to steal and things like that. But so far I haven't run into too many issues there. Yes. Yeah, so most of them live within the northwestern part of Uganda. There's a few that live in the southern part of South Sudan, but the vast majority live in Uganda there. I think there might be a few that have migrated around the world, but there's the population of the Mahdi is around 425,000 currently, so it's a pretty significant population. And something I've come to realize recently is that Uganda is one of the fastest growing populations in the world today. And I think I was looking at a stat last night, and I think the population from 2020 to 2021 had an increase of 3.3%. So there's an estimate that there'll be 100 million people in the country by 2060. So it's, which most of the fastest growing populations in our world today are located within Africa, most of the top 25. Any other questions? Yes. It's possible. I'm not sure exactly. I haven't dealt with the printing side of things or who they go with. I know we, at a couple of our annual conferences, Glenn Kerr from the Bibles International has spoken. So we have the same philosophy and burden as Bibles International. So another thing about our translation is that we're seeking to translate the Bible as literally as possible, but as free as necessary. And so many translation societies out there, they're just seeking to translate into vernacular. Sometimes it's very coarse, the language. They just use the street language, and then sometimes they also use a more functional equivalent style, which is you're more just translating the idea or the meaning behind it, not actually the individual words themselves. So we're trying to stick with translating the words as closely as we can. And if, like, for example, if with idioms, you can't necessarily always do a one-for-one correlation of translation with where the individual words do not make up the meaning of the phrase with idioms. So then sometimes you have to translate a little bit differently there. But for the most part, it's all word for word. Yes. Yeah, I haven't really looked into it, but this past October at the Baptist World Mission Annual Conference, I met a guy who is part of a school, forgetting the name of it right now, but they offer Hebrew classes online where it's actually broadcasted online, the live classes. And I think he's mentioned like it'll happen like Monday morning from 8 to 9 or for a couple hours. And so if I register for the class, I can even take that class while I'm in Uganda, where I just have to wake up earlier in the middle of the night to take the class, or else if I miss the class for some reason, then the class itself will be available online for me to then watch later. I just won't have the in-class interaction to be able to ask questions and things. Which, yes. Yes. So we're translating from the Textus Receptus Greek text as well as the Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament. And then we do consult the various English translations as well, just to see, because sometimes even though we don't necessarily agree with some of these other translations, how they translate it, sometimes they'll spark an idea of a word that could be used within the native language that we weren't necessarily thinking of at the time. So it's helpful to also consult various English translations just to do kind of a brainstorming session to say, okay, we're kind of stuck here. What have some other people done who have also been in translation? And sometimes that can spark ideas. Yes. Yeah, so I'm currently at 27. Support. I got started in May of last year. So I'm in like November, I was thinking, man, it'd be nice to be there the end of this year. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for. I'm not sure how everything will fall together. I'm definitely praying that God would lead me to the right churches and that God would direct my path. So ideally, I'd hope to be there by the end of this year or at the very beginning of next year. So that's what I'm praying for. See how God leads and directs. Yeah, so there's currently only one other missionary that I know of living in Jumani. They just moved there about a year and a half ago. But so when I've been there before in the past, I've just stayed at the translation office with one of the translators and his family who reside there. But yeah, I'll be needing to find some place to rent one there, a compound in the area, which I have to look into that still. I talked to one of the translators, and I'm pretty sure that I'll be working alongside them, since they know the area, and they have a much better idea of how to haggle prices and everything, which is kind of interesting because in our culture, the price is what it is, which sometimes you can still barter with somebody a little bit here and there, but over there, it's very common. I mean, it's expected that they'll give you a price and that you'll give them another price, and then you kind of work back and forth. So especially in the marketplace, when you're purchasing food, different things, there's some things that are just a certain price and that's the way it is, but most things it's learning, all right, so they're going to give you the Mzungu price, and then you got to try to figure out what the native price is and try to hopefully work somewhere in the middle of that. Yes. Yeah, so Ken Fielder, he's asked me to stay with the team, with the Mahdi team, until they've completed both the New Testament and Old Testament. And then we'll see from there. God's really given me a vision to really teach and train national believers or national translators in Hebrew and Greek, and then work alongside them in the translation process. When God first called me to missions, the way I viewed it was I go into a place, learn their language, start churches, translate the Bible, move on, and do that again. And I said, wow, maybe I can do this in 10 years, and then maybe I can reach 3 or 4 different people groups in that time frame, which was kind of idealistic. But but then when I was in seminary, Sam Moss talked about what he did with the Mahdi team, where he taught them Greek, and they were doing the translation. And I realized, well, they're going to know their language much better than I could ever begin to learn it, begin to know it. And so by training national teams to do the translation and then working alongside them, answering questions they have regarding the original text and checking their translations, I could actually be involved in so many more translations than just 3 or 4 and see the work progress much further and faster than just doing it myself. And so really that's kind of the vision that God's given me, is to really work alongside the nationals and really equip them to do the translation themselves, and then work alongside them and help them through that. So I'm not sure where God's going to lead me after the Mahdi team, whether it'll be another translation project like you mentioned here in Uganda. I did help start the Lukonza translation in the southwestern part of Uganda, so I'll probably be making trips down there on occasion just to keep up with that team and encourage them and help them out. But where I'll go after that, I'm not sure. It might be where I'll be doing more traveling, starting projects, or I might be located with another project and then making trips out as new projects start to help get them started. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah, so Mark, and then pretty soon John and Romans will be translated and distributed, so they'll be able to use those. Just because of the printing costs and shipping costs getting them shipped over there, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to do, like you were saying, book by book. But we'll be able to work with, they'll be able to have the three different books to work with in the meantime, but they'll still have to translate on the fly when they preach from other books of the Bible. One of the things I love about checking back translations is that it gets me into the Greek text. And oftentimes I'll be going through a passage that I'm familiar with, which right now I just was checking Philippians chapter 2, and I don't remember exactly which word it was, but there was a particular word that, all right, I know that word in English, it makes sense. And I was looking at the word in the Greek lexicon, I was like, oh, it gave these different options for how this word could be translated, and just kind of expanded the meaning of what that word meant and made it more clear and nuanced. And it was like, wow, that was very helpful. So it's just amazing to be able to dig into God's word like that and have it really open up to you in a new way. It's really neat. Yes. It takes about, it's going to take about, usually takes about 6 to 12 years to do it like in the New Testament. And then to do the Old Testament, it'll take another 6 to 12 years on average, which varies from project to project, depending on how difficult the language is, how similar it is to Hebrew and Greek, and how educated the translators are, or the missionary, or how well the missionary knows the language. There's quite a few things that go into that. Just a fun fact about, oh, go ahead.
The translation.
Yeah, so the primary qualifications we have would be similar to a pastor or a deacon, just having a good standing in the church, have to be saved. Some of our checks do involve unbelievers, just for the more of the language aspect. But when we're doing a translation, we want to make sure that our translators are believers, are saved, and that they're in good standing in the church. They have some understanding of theology, and obviously they'd have to have some education level, be able to read, and be able to understand how to read and write, which in Uganda or any of these third world countries, it's kind of, you might have a couple that are really good and others that are really slow. And so it's because whereas most of the men have gone to school, there's very various lengths of time that they went to school. It wasn't like they went to school and went all the way through. Especially with the poorer families, you might have gone to school for a couple years and then you dropped out, or maybe 5 or 6 years went to school and then dropped out to start helping support the family and either business or work on the farm or various things like that. Which, just a fun fact about Uganda, there's about 10 different game preserves or national parks located in Uganda. So they have quite a variety of wildlife. Depending on which park you go to, you see different things. Which on one trip, we were going to go to one of the parks, but then we got so busy teaching Greek that we ran out of time, which is fine. But on the way into Kasese, you actually pass through a corner of a game preserve, and there's baboons alongside the road, hoping that passing travelers would throw them something to eat. But I think there's also like a white rhino preserve up in northern Uganda somewhere. So they have I think also they have a large variety of birds, so bird watchers will go to Uganda to watch the birds and add to their list of birds that they've seen. there's a pamphlet on my table from Worldview. It goes through and gives a little bit of a background of the different translation projects that we're involved in, as well as gives some different stats and information regarding translation. So feel free to pick one of those up, and then feel free to ask me any other questions that you think of afterwards. And thank you so much for letting me be here with you today.
As the Word of God tells us, His Word will not return void. So it's encouraging to hear just the Lord raising up those to meet that need. And try to think about, I'm glad that I don't have to read my Bible in Spanish or some other language, that's something that's in my heart language. And So praise the Lord for that. So thank you. Thank you, Anders. Thanks for your surrender to the call to go. And we'll pray for you that the Lord will use you in a mighty way there to, as he uses his word. So we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and be dismissed for our worship service time. Dear Father, Lord, it is just it makes us so thankful, Lord, for what you've done in our language. Lord, how you, through blood, sweat, and tears, and emphasis on blood, men translated your word into our language. And Father, thank you so much for just seeing this need as much as we might believe that they can speak English and they should be able to read English translation, and yet this need is there. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would be with this team of translators, that your Holy Spirit would just guide them, and Lord, that all the checks and balances would just produce something that honors what you have said from the very beginning. And Lord, we just thank you so much that you have chosen to reveal yourself. When we open up the beginning of the word, and we find that you said, let there be light. And Lord, the power that's in your word to transform and to speak light into our lives and to illuminate us, Lord, as we read your word, we look forward to this upcoming service, Lord, and how you're going to use your word line by line, precept upon precept, to grow us and build us into the image of Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. All right, dismissed.